Amen. He said, comfort one another with these words. Man, those are good words to be comforted by. Amen. Because we have hope. We have hope not just in this life. Because if we just had hope in this life, we would be men most miserable. But we got hope. We got hope. No other leader, no other religion, no other teacher gives the hope that Jesus gives. Amen. Amen. Nursery. We're doing children's church today too, right, Taylor? All right. Nursery that way, children's church this way. 5 to 12. 5 to 12 this way. Amen. Who's doing nursery today? Over here, Kim. Kim and... Okay. I give our nursery workers a hand, man. We need them. Amen. Amen. We're excited about children's church as well. Amen. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Mark 12:41. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, then you can sit down and rest for the rest of the service if you want to. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Randy, if you would, in the nursing room, there's an offering pot, if you'd get it for me. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. You can go ahead and be seated. Where's Sam? We got a little, that little table, that little round thing. Yeah. We've already taken up offering, but we're going to take it up again. We're going to be one of those churches. Yeah, that's great. I should support that big old pot. Scoot it out just a little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit more, little bit more. Little, whoa, too far. Back up, right there. Good. Jesus is hanging out at the offering plate. That's an interesting place to find him, ain't it? And here's what's funny. When you talk about money in church, people get nervous. I get it. There's a lot of guys out there trying to get your wallet. I'm not trying to get your wallet. I have a job. So I know some of these guys need a lot from their congregation. But I will say this. Shane Hensley said this a lot. If God don't have your wallet, he don't have your heart. If he don't have your wallet, he don't have your heart. Because, man, there's a lot in Scripture that talks about money. Amen? And I think Jesus talked about money, and hell was his two top subjects to talk about. I think they tie in a lot together. Because the love of is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money. I personally hate money. I wish we didn't have to have any of it. Wish everything was free. But Jesus, out of all places, and I know some people would judge him for this, the Bible says he is watching. Let's back up to that verse, Shane. I think it was 41. Was that where it was? Listen to what this says. Jesus sat over against the treasury and watched how the people cast money into the treasury. He's watching their giving. Now, I assure you, Jesus didn't need their money. I assure you, he didn't need it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. He didn't need it, but he's watching how they gave. Many that were rich cast in much. But then comes this widow. And somebody gather me up some quarters, if you would. I need some quarters. Anybody got quarters? Tracy, you got quarters? Gary, you on a car wash still? Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Got a couple? Oh, yeah, here we go. Watch this. This is great. All we want is quarters. We don't want anything smaller. No dimes, no nickels, no pennies. Quarter, quarter, quarter. There you go. All right, all right. I just may do this for a while and see what happens. We're going to wash our car at Nicely's car wash after we leave here. Do y'all want these back? Because I don't know who gave what. Okay. Of course you said no. The last sermon I gave you. So people are given, and they're given a lot. Did I drop a quarter? Couple. Then this widow shows up. Let me show you something in Scripture about widows. Darren, widows are very interesting all through Scripture. They're used as a place of miracles, and they're used as a teaching point all throughout Scripture. Because the problem is with being a widow, as this widow that we read about, when you lost your husband in those days, you lost a lot. Because the husband was the main provider for the family. Historically, this is crazy, but historically, they say this is why prostitution was so rampant. Because once a woman lost her husband, she had no way to provide for herself. I want to read this. Widowhood presents a difficult time in a woman's life, especially when compounded with the diminished ability to meet financial needs. A common circumstance in ancient patriarchal world of the Bible, widows in the Bible therefore become special teaching opportunity in Scripture. So we see that the prophet comes to a widow and she says, "We have a problem. My husband has died." And the creditors has come to take my sons, right? So they come to take their son so that they can pay off the debt. The prophet looks at the widow and he said, "What do you have in your house?" She says, "I have nothing save this pot of oil. That's all I have." And through that, the prophet says, "Go out and borrow vessels." And he says, "Borrow not a few." And there's a miracle that is done for this widow because the prophet shows up. And time after time, we see miracles in the Bible for widows. But in this instance, we see something totally different. This widow is coming, and she's not coming to receive anything, but she's coming to give. This woman isn't receiving a miracle, but she is coming to give. And she's coming to give a very special gift. I know that there are times in our life where, as a widow, we have lost things. We have lost blessings, or we have lost people, or we have lost. There's so many things that we can lose. And in our loss, we come to Jesus that we might receive of him. And the truth is, we have a God that is always ready for you to reach out to him when you're in trouble. Don't think for an instance, because some people use Jesus as a crutch every now and then, that he's not okay with you coming to him when you are in need. As a matter of fact, he says, "Call on me in your day of trouble." Because we got a God that's not just there in the good times, but he's there in the bad times as well. He's not just there in the days of abundance and blessing, but he's there in the day of struggle and want as well. We have a God that is a provider, and why would we need a provider if we are never in need? But we got a God who is able to supply all of our need according to his riches, and he has no problem with us coming to him when we are disgusted, can't be trusted, when we're sick, when we're in trouble, when we're weak, when we're broke, when we need help, when we need lifted up. We got a God that says, come to me like that. You don't have a problem with that. Don't be so proud and self-sufficient that you don't think you can ask God for anything, because he's willing to give to his children. Story after story, and even in the law it was written, don't take advantage of the widow. And pure religion is to visit the widows and the orphans. And there's widows are all throughout scripture. But this widow, there's something different going on with this widow. She comes to a place where she is giving. She is giving her offering. This is quite a large offering container I have brought here today. It needs to be filled up. I'm not talking about with money, but I'm going to move to something else. There are some things that we need to be giving that we're not giving because we feel like we've lost too much to give. Let me say that again. This woman had lost a lot. And Jesus is watching this whole scenario, if you can picture it, as she walks up. And I'm not sure how she did it. I'm not sure how she gave it. But I know this. When the rich people came by, they was giving a lot. They were giving much. But there's a difference between buying in and selling out. See, I can get some people to buy into the gospel. But Jesus didn't ask us to buy in. What he asked us to do was sell out. Jesus didn't say just pick up your cross when it's convenient. No, he said take it up and follow me. This ain't about just buying in. This is about completely selling out. Though they were giving much, they were just buying in. But this woman came with a different attitude. Oh, just imagine as she reached out to the offering. If she stopped right there, Mike, I'd have been okay with her. If she would have only given one mite, I would have been okay. Because she's a widow. She's giving. The fact that she's giving at all is impressive. And me personally, I would say, oh, you gave half of all that you have. Take the other half and take care of yourself. You don't have anybody to take care of you. You don't have a spouse, so you're going to need this to take care of yourself. So hold on to some control of a little bit of it. Just keep control of some of it so that the outcome may work into your favor. But this widow woman didn't have the attitude that I have. She came in full trust. She didn't come to give him part of the control. She came to give him complete control, because she wasn't willing to control any of it. She trusted him enough that there was another sound, and the other sound was all she had. It wasn't just half, but the whole thing was given to him. Think about this for a minute. You got some things that you've given him. You've got some parts of your life that you've offered him. But you know what you're doing? You're holding on to other parts of it because we don't completely trust him. Well, God, I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you this part, and this part. Man, I absolutely love the way Michael Jr. does this. He says, it's like that, your house. Most of us got a room in our house that's like the good room. Right? When people come over, it's the room that's cleaned up. And whatever happens to the rest of the rooms just happens. You deal with that when they leave. Oh, look at y'all. No, not me, brother. My house, whole thing is spotless. That's why when somebody knocks on the door, what do? Yeah, you start scrambling. You act like there's a warrant for your arrest for some reason. Somebody knocks on, who's that? Who is that? Here, I don't know, clean this up. Everybody starts scrambling. Throw that in the bedroom. Who is it? What are they doing here? Oh, come on, y'all know it's true. We got this one room that we allow people in. And he says, that's the way it is in some of our lives with Jesus. We allow him in that one room. We allow him in the clean room. The one that's up front that looks good. And the rest of the house, is a mess. See, we give him that part. But there's other parts of us that we're still holding on to that we're not willing to surrender to him quite yet. Well, I'm glad you're here if you're in this position, because today I'm going to challenge you to give it all to him. Because here's what he does. He said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He wants to come in. He wants to come in. And let me tell you something about Jesus. He don't care how messy your house is. He's standing there with a mop and a bucket. He's saying, let me come in. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Well, Jesus, I tell you what. We go to the door every now and then and we'll answer it and we'll talk to him through the door. We don't let him in. If we let him in, he don't stay guest very long. He said, if any man open, he said, I will come in and sup with him. I will come in and sup with him. Man, this is good. Don't miss this. When you sup with someone, that someone is the host and you are the guest. He said, I will come in and sup with him. That means he is going to offer me something and I am going to take it. But it doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, I will come and sup with him and that's the end. He says, I will sup with him and he with me. He comes in as the guest, but not very long, he becomes the host. He says, I will take from you what you have to give, but I got something to give you in return for what I'm taking. Oh, this is good. Why is this good? Because when you give, we don't serve a God that doesn't honor what you give him. Jesus is watching the offering. He knows who's giving what. And when you give to him, he gives back. But he gives back pressed down, shaken together and running over. One guy said it like this, when I give Jesus my life, it's like me shoveling to him and him shoveling to me. The guy said, well, that don't work out very good. He said, yes, it does. His shovel is a whole lot bigger than my shovel. I give him a little. He gives me a lot. I give him worry. He gives me release. I give him pain. He gives me healing. I give him disease. He gives me healing. I give him sorrow. He gives me joy. It's a good exchange. But Thomas, it's not until we give him control that we get what he wants to give us. Maybe she did. Maybe she went up and she put them both in at the same time. Maybe she sold out. But I can almost guarantee you that there's some of us in here that have a part of our life that we haven't totally given him control over yet. What is it? Listen, when I say it, it comes to your mind. When I say it, it comes to your heart. If you've got something that you wish Jesus would have took from you a long time ago, I'm talking to you. Because you know what he's willing to do? He's willing to make an exchange. We talked in Sunday school. We started talking in Sunday school about habits and how to get rid of habits. The only way to get rid of a bad habit is you got to replace it with something else. If you are a sinner by nature, the only way to get rid of sin is to get rid of the nature. But the only way to get rid of that nature is to replace it with a new nature. He's saying, I'm willing to make an exchange with you. He said it like this in the Old Testament, Jason. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll wash them as white as snow. But we got to talk about it. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? Well, I'll tell you, preacher, I'll tell you what I'm waiting on. I'll get a little bit better. I'll start behaving a little bit better. Because, you know, I got this wild, crazy side. And when I get that completely under control, then I'm really going to do something for Jesus. Well, preacher, I'll tell you, I got this thing I've been dealing with. And as soon as I conquer it, then I'm going to give it to Jesus. You don't need to conquer it to give it to Jesus. You need to give it to Jesus so he can conquer it. And if you don't think he's watching the offering. He's watching to see, are you buying in or are you selling out? And all the people that gave that day, Josh, one lady came up. Y'all know my story about offerings? Y'all know my story? Tanner don't know my story, so I'm going to tell the rest of y'all. When I would go to church and give in the offering, I was poor. And sometimes all I had to give was change. And they had those gold offering plates, and they got that green felt in the bottom of them. Well, some churches lose the green felt. They should replace it. Because when you put change in an offering plate when you're poor, what you try to do is lay it on the paper money so nobody knows what you're giving. You know what I've seen people do? I've seen people put an offering and get change out. Have you ever seen somebody do it? They're like, hey. I was like, I didn't know we could do that. Like, I'll give you four quarters for a dollar. Next time I'll be high society. I won't be making no noise up in here. Maybe y'all didn't think like that, but I was like, man, I don't really want to. I mean, come on, really? Who wants to make that kind of noise when you're giving an offering plate? Hold on, let me show you what it sounded like. You're like, well, I'm going to give my offering today. Everybody's like, you know, moral of the story is I didn't want my offering to make any noise till I read this story. This woman came up and gave an offering that made some noise. So much noise that Jesus brought his disciples and started proclaiming what she was giving. It wasn't about the amount. It was about it's all she had. She was completely selling out. See, when you sell out to Jesus, Eric, that means you completely trust him. When you give part of your life and hold on to the rest of it, that means you don't trust him. He said, those that know me, they trust me. I promise you, there's not anything that you can give him that he's not going to replace with something better. Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness? Come on, musicians, come on. Nobody move. Nobody stand up. Nobody do nothing. Do anything. Don't move.